Hello everybody, my name's Craig Baxter and you're listening to episode 8 of the Cast Iron Podcast, recorded Thursday the 2nd of February 2012. On this week's show, we discuss the last 2 weeks' results since episode 7, and we look ahead to the Irons clash this Saturday against Walsall. With the transfer window now closed, we discuss all the ins and outs of the club, we take listener questions and more. But first, writer of the fan feature in the official programme, and our resident player ogler, it's Nicola Kimmel. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Next up, from footballfancast.com, the one and only Aidan McCartney. How are you, sir?
I am not bad at all, thank you.
And last but not least, photographer for the Scunthorpe Telegraph and Mr. To Be Fair himself, it's Cargak. How's it going?
Not bad, mate, not bad at all.
Okay, so before we start, there's a couple of quick announcements to make about the podcast. Firstly, the podcast has moved to a new home. You may have noticed already. The best way to find all the new episodes is still to follow at Cast Iron Podcast on Twitter and to go to theironsupplement.co.uk. But if you're currently subscribing via iTunes or one of the old RSS feeds, you'll need to update your subscriptions to the new address, which you can find on the new podcast website, which is spreaker.com/show/Cast Iron Podcast. Secondly, we know how much you all hate that long 2 week wait between each episode of the Cast Iron Podcast to come out. So from this episode onwards, we're now going to be recording and releasing a new episode every single week.
Woo!
Woo!
Let's hear your excitement.
Okay, so there's plenty to talk about this week, so let's get stuck in, starting with the recent results for the Iron. So since episode 7, we've played two games. We had Stevenage at home on Saturday the 31st of January, which was a 1-1 draw. And then on the following Tuesday, we had Sheffield Wednesday at home, which was on the 24th, which we lost 3-1. The Stevenage game, it sounded like a good performance, particularly in the second half. We were leading for a good chunk of the game, but conceded a very late goal. And then followed that with the Sheffield Wednesday game, where we had what sounded to be an utterly dreadful first half, including going a goal down within 40 seconds. Better second half, but then that doesn't sound like that was much, including the first goal for the club for Robertson. What did you make of either of those, Nicola?
I went to both of those games, actually. I said the Stevenage game was a pretty good performance overall. It wasn't a game where you've been to before and we've been 1-0 up for a while and you're thinking, oh, well, the equaliser is definitely going to come this time. We're well under pressure or whatever. I didn't think we particularly were in that game. And I'd say they probably were quite unlucky not to win that game.
So, yeah, we would consider that goal. Was it 6 minutes from the end?
Yeah, it was a bit of a killer, really, and I don't think they deserved it, to be honest. I don't think Stevenage showed enough. They just had very effective substitutions in the end. I think the guy who came on was their second or third one, and it was the winning one, because then he got the equaliser they needed.
Yeah, so Carl, it sounded like that was exactly the thing. Their depth in the squad was deeper than ours. We didn't have a lot of options on the bench to make those changes, whereas, as Nick says, they made changes and those changes counted at the end.
Yeah, it was a strange game, really, because like Nicol said, it weren't one of the games where we were hanging on, but it was right that their subs changed the game, really. The guy came off the bench and he was always going to be the danger when he came off, because he did look a good player.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think they had the options on the bench, which meant they could go on and get some from the game despite not being a better team. I think we were in complete control, really, until a bit of a sucker punch, really.
Yeah, I thought so.
You're like watching it, you're thinking, like, 4 minutes, like, 6 minutes, let's come on. And then, like,
They hadn't threatened too much up until the point they scored.
Not really. They had a few chances in the first and second, but not really massive chance. Not like I'd make a good change or anything, so.
Yeah.
It was an odd one, but it's another 2 points.
Particularly gutting.
Yeah, definitely, because we did need that win, didn't we?
Yeah, especially with what came after.
It was another 3 points that ended up turning into one.
Dropped.
So do we think that late goal, did that contribute in any way to the awful first half the following Tuesday?
I think
No, I don't think so.
It's a bad team this evening, aren't they?
Yeah.
We started a lot of games poorly this season, though, to be honest. I wasn't even really that surprised when Sheffield Wednesday scored. I mean, they scored ridiculously early.
I was quite surprised. I didn't even turn my... I was listening on Iron Player because I was in London, but I didn't even turn the Iron Player on because I thought, like, oh, it's 7:45. I'll turn it on now. And I missed the goal. That's how early it was.
It was. There was the girl who comes in when I did. She was just coming up the steps as it was scored. And she said, right, should we turn around and go back out again, Dad? Yeah. But, I mean, we have conceded early goals, but that just kind of took the bit.
That was stupidly early.
Yeah. Ribeiro was off the pitch, but...
Yes, with concussion and a cut lip.
After 6 seconds.
Yeah. The shortest ever home debut, yeah.
Yeah, a new record, surely.
I think it does say a lot about the team, like, strength and mentality and stuff. Like, when they can see the goal for 40 seconds, it's like they're not awake or something. You just got to start a game. You know what I mean? Just 40 seconds, seriously.
That was a sucker punch, weren't it, to be fair?
You always got a long way to come back, haven't you?
It was against Sheffield Wednesday as well, and it was always going to be a tough game, and then they just made it 10 times harder within, let's say, 40 seconds.
We literally gave them one handicap, didn't we? Here we go, we have a lead.
Exactly,
And then we
were never going to come back from that, really.
It was bloody dreadful defending, though. Bloody.
It was.
All three goals were.
All three. What did they do for the third? Just close the man down.
Well, there was three people that I think Togwell, Wright, and I think Canavan all could have stopped him for the third one.
The second, O'Grady, just is the smallest man they have, and he just. Yeah, headed it in. No challenge whatsoever.
Yeah, it was a free header.
Yeah, a small guy. And my Rochdale fans who I know said, oh, he never scored headers for us. Oh, maybe he didn't have the unchallenged aspect for you then. No, nobody was stupid enough to give him all the time in the world.
Was there any positive to take from the game then, from what we saw?
Well, in the second half, there was an improvement. Well, it had to be an improvement on the first, to be honest. It couldn't really have got much worse. And I think we can say we kept the score to 1-1 in the second half. That's a positive, right? We didn't let our goal difference get absolutely hammered, which was looking like the case after the second goal. So that's my positive. Anyway, it's a small positive, but it's a positive.
We've got any positive today. Yeah.
Well, Robertson got himself a goal as well.
That's
for him. That is good.
He took it well as well.
He did, it was a decent goal from him.
Yeah, that was another free header, though. He was being marked by O'Grady, and he got a free header to call that, so...
Yeah.
Swings and roundabouts.
They didn't capitulate. I think that was the main thing. They could
It could easily
five,
be
six,
four or five or six, yeah.
Yeah, and that would have been really damaging for our goal difference in particular, and, like, morale and everything. So at least it wasn't that bad, but it was still pretty, pretty bad, really.
So going forward, this Saturday, we have Walsall at home, directly above us on goal difference alone. And this fixture kicks off what could be a really important February. We've got quite a few games in the next few weeks against teams.
The next three games, isn't it, Craig?
Yeah, in and around us.
It's huge, isn't it, really? Looking at the fixtures, it's like, deciding month, if we don't get enough wins in this...
I think so. This is crucial.
Oh, yeah. I think...
This is do or die.
Yeah, it's time to stand up and be counted.
Yeah.
Going back to the predictions for the previous two games, full points for Carl, who managed to guess the Stevenage 1-1.
Yay, well done. Mine was slightly out for the Sheffield Wednesday game.
The rest of us all predicted a 2-1 win for Stevenage, so we did better than most of us thought. So well done, Carl. The Sheffield Wednesday game...
My finest hour.
Well, none of us were really... Well, Aidan was closest, because at least he said that it would be a draw, whereas the rest of us all said we were all going to win.
Why did we think that, by the way?
We were drunk on optimism, I'm afraid.
Ridiculous. So,
we hoped to turn up, didn't we? And we didn't.
Well, mine was based on the fact that we had a very good home record against them, and then that just got obliterated.
I did read beforehand that it was the first time they've beaten us at Glanford Park since
somebody on Twitter tweeted 1958 with that fact.
That doomed then, isn't it?
I think
that's going to happen now.
I think it's 1959, and I think it was Matt Millen was the Prime Minister last time they beat us.
Wow. Stat.
Which is a stat. I took a long time to look for that.
That's a heck of a stat.
Yeah,
that's Stelling-esque. Why?
Well done.
Thank you.
So, Walsall on Saturday. Aidan, what are we expecting?
We're expecting 3 points, aren't we?
were demanding we're 3 points.
I think we're expecting a nervy encounter, actually. I think both teams know how important the game
they
is.
They can't afford to lose both.
Yeah, no, I think it's pretty much that way. We need to win, but they'll be happy with a point, won't they, Warsaw? So they'll come in and they'll play their crap football, which they're probably renowned for. And I think it will be... We can win that game. I think we have to win that game. If the home form's going to turn round, this is the sort of game you're going to do it in.
Yeah.
Got to be. They're probably the worst. Yeah, one of the worst in the league away form. The joint with Yeovil's the worst. So you've got to win.
They've also had a lot of draws like us, haven't they?
Yeah, I know.
So yeah. Anything could happen.
I think. Wait a second. They've got. Oh God. They've got 6 games out of win, and they've only had six clean sheets this season, which is more of us, more than we've had. And they're 10 games out of away win, which is quite a lot. So I can't see them coming to Glanford Park and getting anything, but then we haven't won in 6 games and at home. And then we haven't had a clean sheet at home all season. So expect goals. Expect goals and a draw.
That's my prediction out the window then.
Yeah. Go on then.
So go on then, Carl. What is your prediction?
2-0. 2-0 win.
Oddly enough, I've said exactly the same thing.
And I'll make it 3. That was what I've got written down too.
Wow.
I'm going to go 1-0.
So...
We're all going for the clean sheet.
We're doing it again. We're doing it again. We're just
5-0 defeat.
So all of us have said a clean sheet. Aiden has said that we're going to score 1, and the rest of us all said we're all going to score 2. Clearly drunk on optimism.
I think we've got to be a little bit confident with the signings we've made. I think we've strengthened the squad enough, and we've got a bit of strength at the back.
We've got key players coming back as well.
I've got a decent bench as well now. Bench is a lot. Like we had Winton bloody turn on the bench. And turn
basically, I say we've got no excuse if we don't win on Saturday with what we have at the minute now. Of course, if the game goes ahead, that is. There's always issue that could thwart us.
Play doom and gloom already.
If I get on the train from London and coming back and I hear that game's been cancelled, I'll be like, no. Because what am I going back for then? Pointless. Bloody weather.
Yeah.
Done well this year though. We don't have anything.
We have actually, to be fair, yeah.
After last year,
we've had 2 cancellations because they've been bloody FA Cup.
Well, yeah, but that's not because you're knowing about that in advance, aren't you? It's not like finding out at 2:00.
Last year, on Preston game last year, it was cancelled at 11:00. I was on the train from London.
I was on the train.
Oh God, what a bloody.
I was on the train passing Glanford Park as it came up on Sky Sports News on a train with the Preston fans that. It had been cancelled and the reaction was not pretty, let me say.
I wasn't happy.
Literally passing so Glanford Park.
Well,
it was ridiculously late. And yeah. They all got here and were like, well, what the heck do we do?
I had a nice weekend at home though, doing nothing. Brilliant.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, fingers crossed that the weather doesn't affect it. Yeah. We need the game to be on, really. We can't.
I think it's only -2, so that should be okay, I think.
Yeah, it's been fine. Yeah.
It's been cold here, but it's not been frosty in the morning, I don't think it should be a problem, to be fair.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Not a wasted journey for me.
So as we've mentioned, the squad's looking a little bit better now, as it was. So we've had quite a busy January window, as it turned out. Since the episode 7, 2 weeks ago, we've had quite a few ins and outs. As we've mentioned, the 19-year-old Ashley Palmer has been sent out on a 1-month loan to Southport in Blue Square Bet Premier League. Doesn't sound to be like he's getting a huge amount of football, mind you. Down in Blue Square Bet Premier, he's still sat on the bench as an unused substitute so far. So we'll wait and see if he gets anything out of that. But hopefully he'll get a bit of game time. And
this always seems to be the case with that a lot, though. Didn't Canavan barely play for Shrewsbury?
Yeah, yeah. He went to the wrong team, though, because they were right on the up and they had a decent
partnership.
Yeah, it's true.
So two other 19-year-olds, Jake Turner and Jordan Lewis, have both been released by mutual consent. Was anyone surprised at either of those?
I was quite surprised at the timing, but not surprised that they were released now. Yeah, that was not very good. Turner made his first appearance on the bench, didn't he? And then he's been released. He must be gutted. Like, the 1 week he's made an appearance on the bench.
Yeah.
That was partly because Lillis had his baby, though, weren't it? On the
Friday,
Saturday morning, Friday night, whenever it was.
So I do feel sorry for... They should have been released. They should never got contracts, really. That's the truth. And we are regretting that now, aren't we, I think. But we've still got a lot more to get rid of in the summer.
Well, yes. We then signed Wolves left-back Jamie Reckford. Reckford.
I thought it was Reckford, and that's why I thought...
No, it's Record.
There's no F.
No, there's no F. Somebody tweeted it. One of the news sites tweeted it as Reckford, and then everybody was joking.
That must be where I've got it from then. So, yes, Jamie Reckford. Record. Anyway, we've signed the Wolves left-back on loan for 1 month. 21 years old. Came highly recommended from Wolves boss, Mick McCarthy. So that's got to be a fairly good recommendation to get, hasn't it?
I'd like to think so, wouldn't you?
He's a left-back, isn't he? So does that mean Nolan... Where's Nolan fit in?
Well, they said it's for competition, isn't it? He'll increase.
We do need that, but
he's a left-footed left-back. That's what we've missed.
We do need one, Cal. But I mean, can anyone see him starting Saturday? If we play, obviously.
I think he's got a good chance of playing because Nolan's not really covered himself in glory in the last few weeks, has he?
No, he's been rubbish. But he had a really good start to the season. He's just faded.
Yeah,
and he's really faded. Yeah,
I do think he'd be better. I've always said that. He's a right back. He needs to play right back. But then we've got Ribeiro. So then again.
I think it all depends on whether Ribeiro, I know they've said he's fit, but it's whether he's right or if they want to risk him.
I'd be quite surprised if Ribeiro didn't play on Saturday.
I'd be surprised, to be honest, if Reckford didn't play. Even didn't play. Yeah.
I think
it's one of them things where you're bringing kids in, like when Johnson came and when Norwood came, they come in and they play, don't they? They're not going to come here and sit on the bench, I don't think.
No. Okay, so Reckford and Ribeiro left and right back then. Yeah,
that's why I think it probably won't now I've said that, but yeah.
No, I would agree with you, but I'm just saying that.
I think that's what I'm expecting as well.
I'd be a little bit surprised if Nolan's dropped because he's quite an established player and that sort of thing. But
yeah, but he's struggled a lot the last few weeks, hasn't he? Yeah. He's obviously Neil knows he needed that left back, left footed player, and I think he's not going to just bring him here and sit him on the bench. I don't
think looking at an almost new look back line, really, couldn't we?
Well, yeah, you could end up with either just Reid or Canavan, couldn't you?
Yeah, well, I
think we will.
Yeah. So we then had a very busy deadline day with three more additions coming in. It started off the day or the evening with Robbie Gibbons, a free agent who'd been on trial with us, has now signed an 18-month contract with the club having I think they have the option to extend for another year after as well. 20 years old, can play central midfield or left back.
He fits the nil.
I'm going to say, don't forget the crucial. He's Irish.
That's a key requirement.
He
fits the nil requirement as well. In the fact, he's hungry. He's obviously got a lot to prove in English football. He won't be on much. It'll be a cheap option, but he could be potentially be a good signing. I think it's worth the risk on him. I think I'd rather
He's an unknown quantity, isn't he?
Yeah. I'd rather pay money, like a bit of money for him, than get. Then having kids on the book who's never going to play, because at least Reckford Gibbons off the bench will give us something, or even the starting lineup.
He's a different option, isn't he?
I think it's a good
compared
move.
compared to what we've have had and what we've got.
He won't be on much, will he? We all know he's like I've read in the Telegraph today. He says he's not on much. He's not here for the money sort of thing. So he's got to be a good signing in that terms as well. I think.
He'll have a good attitude, won't he? So
he's got to be. I think like hunger is what. When Neil came in, he said he wants young, hungry players.
He wouldn't have signed him if he was going to come here and waste his time, would he? He wouldn't have given him an 18-month contract, I don't think.
When
he was at Not Forest, Premier League teams were sniffing around him.
I was reading Nottingham Forest, fans were quite annoyed when he was let go as well.
Yeah. But Billy Davis released him because he was like, he got his ego too big and he's like...
Yeah, that's what I saw. Like that. Yeah.
It's all quite interesting. I think he had to join Slight because no England club would take a risk.
Nobody wanted to talk. Well,
they released him at a really weird time, I think it was. So it's all a bit of an open one. I think it could be a really good potentially be.
Yeah, interesting. I'm going to be interested to see how he gets on and once he's got one or two performances under his belt, whether he sort of covers himself in glory or not.
Can anyone see him starting Saturday?
I don't think he'll start.
He'll be on the bench, won't he?
I think. So we followed that up with bringing a bit of experience into the side. We signed Cardiff City striker 30-year-old John Parkin in on loan, which was with the beast, which was which of the three signings that we made on deadline day was completely out of the blue. I don't think anyone saw that one coming, did they?
Bit of a coup. Yeah.
Yeah, I think
it sounds like a lot of clubs are interested in him, and he from reading what he said today, it sounds like he wanted to come here. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I've just said, it's obviously he's 30 years old, so unlike a lot of the players that have been coming in.
That. He's got to be older than 30, surely. He seems to have been around forever.
Yeah. I remember him playing for, was it York, I think? York, or, yeah, I think it was
York.
Yeah,
that's where he first started, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Maxfield, and it just seems such a long time ago, but fair play if he's only still 30.
He's one of them players that's been to a lot of clubs but not spent a long time at all them clubs.
No. Yeah, that's a fair point.
Well, isn't he?
He was at Hull, wasn't he, as well?
Yeah. He played well for Preston when we were both in the Championship, though. He scored against us at Preston.
Yeah, the problem was just his high wages.
Yeah, whenever I've seen him play anywhere, though, we've always thought he looks a good player, so
I think he's a really interesting signer. I think with Robertson being injured for the next few weeks, it makes sense. I was thinking on the night when he signed, I thought, okay, we've got Robertson, what we're buying, a similar sort of player. But now Robertson's obviously out.
He's injured, yeah.
It makes more sense. And also, I think the fact, he's got a lot of good qualities about him. He can hold a ball up, he can feed others, which is what we need, like a Hayes sort of player. And he's
good
also
feet for a big man.
Yeah, he's good in the air, and I think that will help us. And he's also strong in the box, so he knows
where the back of the net is as well. That's the biggest thing, isn't it, with him?
Oh, well,
he's scored goals wherever he's gone
to. He doesn't have an amazing goal scoring record, but he does.
I think
he's done well.
More likely to get the more assists, I think. I think we can't rely on him to get 10 goals a season, I don't think. I've been looking about 5, but that's probably better than what we've got.
That's 5 more than we did have, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I do think it's a good signing. I think he did have a poor time at Huddersfield, though, but obviously they have got the strike force of Alan Lee, Jordan Rhodes, and Novak, so that is difficult to get through. He did only make 3 appearances in 3 months, though.
Whereas he's going to waltz straight in here, let's be honest.
He's going to come straight into the team, isn't he? We're not going to put him in. You can say it about the young kids on loan, but somebody like that's not going to come in.
Straight in.
He's only hard to bat at League One, isn't he? I think with all his quality and experience, I think he should be a really good signing.
I think it is through a bit of business.
Yeah. So who are we pairing him with up front?
Thompson.
Not Bobby Grant.
Bobby Grant off the bench when impact sub to have some shots.
I think Bobby Grant's still feeling that injury a little bit. I think he's only had did he have 20 minutes in both of the last 2 games, and he's not looked.
We've got to remember he's still our top goal scorer.
Yeah, that's
But Thompson and Parkin's quite an imposing front line, though.
Yeah,
isn't
that's what I was just going to say. They're not going to take any shit off anybody, are they?
They're definitely not. I think.
Of course, we're assuming here that it's a 4-4-2.
I think it'll go back. I think it'll go back 4-4-2. I think when I've been playing with the 3 up front, it's been okay. But I think who would play in the system with Thompson? But Barch was not.
But he's been struggling last few weeks.
Unless
you have a 3 of Thompson, Parkin, and Grant, just Grant back straight back in. I don't know.
Could be like you're saying, but Grant's struggling with an injury. I don't know. That could be an interesting one.
I can see Thompson, Parkin, and Bartram.
But then who gets dropped in midfield? Because it would, you know what I mean? You want to play Walker, O'Connor, Mazika maybe, and Togwell. Well, you know what I mean? Like, there's all them 4.
Mazika apparently today has been to hospital again, hasn't he?
He's got a nose.
Yeah, the busted his nose in training.
Is he Rob Jones? Sorry, are we Rob Jones? He's got a knock
on the
nose.
It's so frustrating.
He certainly doesn't look like Rob Jones.
It doesn't look like Rob Jones, but he does remind me of Rob Jones with the injuries he's picking up.
Well, someone like that, you can't.
No, I know, but
count for that, can you?
How many games did Rob Jones miss for, like a broken finger or something stupid like that?
No, Rob Jones did it, and he actually broke his face, didn't he? I think that was the problem, and then he tried to play soon, and then he broke his nose again, didn't he? And that was the problem with him. But hopefully,
we need him fit. We need him in that midfield and give us that extra bite in midfield. We do lack at times, I think.
So we then ended the day with the signing that most Iron fans were calling for, but for a while looked like it might not happen, which was ex-Iron central defender David Murfin, who left the club last summer following relegation, but has failed to make an impact at Watford, has now signed on loan back with us until the end of the season. So that sort of shores up and adds a bit more quality and depth to that that back four again.
I don't think you can go wrong with that signing. If it pays off, it could be the answer to our defensive problem.
That could that and parking together, that could save us.
Cali, it should save us. It should save us.
It should.
Them to have the quality to keep us up. We should not go down with the team we've got now.
That's what I said as well.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Be disgrace if they did, basically. Oh, yeah.
But I think with Murfin, everyone's like, Scunny fans so underestimate how good he was when, like, in League One and in the Championship. I think the season we stayed up, how good was Murfin? He's like one of the best players we had. Probably one of the, like, the most important players. Every time, like, they got through us, Murphy's ever last ditch tackle, and he saved us so many times. I know season he wasn't so great, but if he can get back
to
that.
He had a lot of injuries, didn't he, in that back in the last season? Thing.
I think Barraclough didn't like him that much. I don't know, he didn't play that much in the Barraclough, I think. And it was a little bit odd, but I think it's a brilliant signing. I really do. I think he's exactly what we need. He's a leader on the pitch, and I think he'll keep us up in this division, I hope.
Yeah. Oh, I just realised a bad omen, though, if he plays this on Saturday. Who he made his debut against the first time, and who he's going to make his debut against the second time, and what happened the first time. And
did he get sent off?
Yeah, he was sent off after about a quarter of an hour.
He got sent off on his debut. Yeah, I was at that game at Warsaw.
I was as well. He went off after, I think it was about 20 minutes.
Yeah, but he could make his debut against the second.
You've just jinxed him now, haven't you?
No, he'll be fine. It'll
be a red card, 1-0 down from a penalty after like 3 minutes. Now you said that, won't it?
Who would you play alongside Murfin? Either Canavan or Reid? Which one?
Because I'd play Reid.
I'd say Reid.
Canavan, Reid and Murfin, you're leaving yourself a bit vulnerable with pace. I think they're both quite slow and they're both lumbersome. Yeah. I think at least Canavan. I know Canavan's like that as well, but at least
Canavan struggled, don't he?
He has struggled. But I told you, he's not the best defender, is he? Really, I think. He's been fouled out this season a little bit. We'll go Murfin and Reid then. But I think we're leaving ourselves a bit open at the back then. But with the pace, if they've got a decent...
Do they have a pacey striker?
I'm not sure. But they might...
Mackin, isn't it? It's John Mackin, isn't it? Who's a bit like
Barking. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, they've got wingers as well.
He is not pacey.
Exactly.
That's all right then. I know, I'd go Murfin and Reid. But, I think so. We've got a back four of Reckford. Murfin, Reid, and Ribeiro. Yeah, it looks alright, doesn't it? I think it's a lot. It's a lot.
That looks much better. I'm much happier.
We'll say this.
Who's in goal? Who's in goal though?
Is Lillis fit?
If Lillis is fit, if Lillis is fit and available, I'd put him back in.
Yeah, same. I would as well. If he's fit, really fit,
if he's 100% available and properly fit, then yes.
He's the first choice goalkeeper. He's got him.
Yeah, but
Sam's done okay. But I don't think he's done enough.
I don't know. I'd still stick with Slocum, if I'm honest.
Really? Why?
I think. He's not lost. He's not done anything really to lose his place. I don't think. It'd be unlucky to drop out of the team, and it proved that when Johnson was still here, he didn't drop him out of the team when Johnson was fit to play, did he?
Not.
Yeah, I suppose that's fair enough. He wasn't really at fault for any of the goals against.
You can't blame him really for because he's. Still pulled off a few good... He made two or three good saves against Wednesday,
against
didn't he?
There was Wednesday, there was that one that he pushed away.
It was the O'Grady one that was just an overhead kick from nowhere and he put that wide. There's been a few times... And for me, he hasn't done anything... I don't think he's done a lot wrong. He's a better kicker of the ball than Lewis.
Yeah, I was going to say about his distribution.
He's better with his distribution and he comes for balls and stuff in the box. I'm
concerned with his ability to come out. I think there's a few times he's been left vulnerable that way. He hasn't come out for punches and stuff and he's left it open for a three-header.
But Lillis does that as well, though, doesn't he? How many times have you seen Lillis come out and punch a corner or catch a corner or punch a free kick away or anything?
I know you're right. But
a lot of keepers now just stay on the line, don't they? There's not a lot of you don't see a lot of keepers.
I don't know what it is, but I just feel more confident with Lillis. I don't know if I'm doing a disservice to Slocum.
With Lillis being the first choke goalkeeper, you would expect him to come in. But if Sam,
I'm not disputing that. What I'm saying though is,
I agree. He hasn't done anything wrong to be dropped in the team, but I kind of expect Lillis to come back when he's fit. That's what I'm saying.
So that leads us nicely into the listener questions. First up, we've had a question from Jamie Morgan via Twitter. Thank you for that. Who asks, "Are you happy with our signings in January, and do you believe Neil is the man to keep us up?" So we'll throw that to Nick first, I think.
I think, on both points, really. I think the signings that he's made are the ones that we were crying out for. We've got the bit more the stability at the back. They've got another option up front, and the other players that he brought through in the summer are starting to come back now. And I think I think he's still the man to keep us up.
Hayden, what do you think? Happy with the January signings? Is Neil going to keep?
Yeah, I'm satisfied with him. I think he's done. He's brought in the players we needed. He's got rid of a lot of dead wood, which we needed to do. Hopefully, a few more will be leaving. Mark Duffy to Southport is one we don't really need, and he's on expensive wages. I think a few more of that, and I think what he's done is he's brought the players we should have signed at the beginning of the season, sort of thing. We need a big striker. We've got Robinson, didn't we? But I think Parkin's a different sort of player. I think with Murphy, you've got your stability at the back. Obviously, we couldn't sign a centre back in summer because we had far too many of them. He's managed to get it down to, like, we had two the other day, and now we're back to what we needed. And I think he's done a really good job in that term. I don't think his performance on the pitch has been good enough yet. I think that's just true. 19% win ratio is just not good enough as a manager. But I still think he's the man to keep us up. But he's got a lot to prove to Scunthorpe fans. And if he doesn't keep us up, there's no way he should be our manager with this team anyway.
Carl, what do you think?
This sort of weekend is probably the first time you could really say it's more or less his team, though. He's always been picking from a squad of players that weren't, and probably the players know that he's not
good enough.
They're not good enough, or he's not going to pick them when he has, and he's made references to people not being good.
Yeah, I see this weekend as kind of the test for
these next three games are the time when you can judge him. If we lose these poor in these games, this is when you can judge him now.
I think we lose the next three games. I can see him getting sacked. I know.
Especially with the teams that we've got.
We're not going to sack him. I know, but he should be sacked. Carl, he should.
Oh, yeah.
If we lose those three games, then he has to.
So we're going down.
If we're 4-4 at the end of February, then yeah, I agree with you, but I don't think we will be.
No, I honestly don't either, but if we do, that's what I'm saying, it's just devil's advocate. Yeah.
People said, though, he needed a left-back, a centre-back and a forward, and that's what he's put in, so you can't...
I think he's done a good job in the transfer market.
And I think this weekend, people will maybe get behind him a bit more, and there might not be as much...
negativity.
There's been a lot of negativity on for Park, hasn't there?
You can understand why, though. It hasn't exactly been a very good
season. I'm not disputing that, but, like, people have been baying for blood. Oh, we need a left back. We need an experienced centre back, and he's brought him in. He's done that, and he's got rid of what people that he thinks aren't good enough or whatever, or aren't a good influence at the club or whatever. So this is the time now when you have to get behind him. I think really for
we
a
should
lot of
start
the
off very positive.
Yeah, this game on Saturday, I think, could be the...
The crowd needs to get behind it from the start, and, yeah.
It is a huge game for our season.
If them signings,
it's like a new team.
Yeah, if the signings on Monday night don't bring in a few... I know it's not going to be thousands, but a few more people don't come in to watch to say they've all been moaning, oh, we need a centre-half, we need a forward, and that's what he's brought in, so...
I would pay money to see the beast, got to admit.
I think a lot of people will be intrigued to see him, if nothing else.
I think that's a really high-profile signing for League One. For Scunthorpe, anyway. It's probably the most...
Yeah, yeah. I don't think in a million years, I don't think anybody...
ever thought we'd get that.
Yeah.
He's obviously a bit desperate to play, but I think if we'd have signed what I was thinking, if we'd have signed Parkin and, like, a few of us last season, this time last season, we signed Lee Miller, if we'd have signed Parkin instead of Miller, wouldn't that have been... You know what I mean? Then we'd have thought, what a signing.
Yeah,
and now we're in League One, and we're thinking, you got to think it's still a good... You know what I mean?
You got to put it in the right circumstances. Would he have come here last year? Do you know what I mean?
Because we
tried our hardest to get as many people as they could.
Yeah, no, I don't mean like that, Carl. I just mean like as in...
I know what you're saying. If you'd had him last season...
Yeah, I'm just saying, would you not wanted him over like Lee Miller?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I'm saying, like, looking at now, isn't that still... That shows how good it is for League One then, doesn't it, I think?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
There was a lot of jealousy on Twitter from other fans. Yeah, and people
fans that weren't very happy.
Yeah, thinking, why have Scunthorpe gone out and signed him? Why didn't we sign him, basically?
You know, we've got enough pies in Scunthorpe to feed him. Because we need a lot of pies.
People in the stadium, so...
Okay, well, we'll make sure we have a good supply and we'll get him
some special ones.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Talking of Parkin, we've had a couple of questions sent in from Jim Coulson. The first one being the sign of John Parking was trending on Twitter, split equally between opposing fans telling us how great he is and how terrible he is. With your best Mystic Meg sensibilities, what will the next time Scunthorpe United trend before?
Great question.
I think it'll be this is stupid. It'll be when everybody realises Steve Wharton looks like Monty Burns.
And that's going to trend on Twitter, is it?
Yep, it will.
Okay.
When fans from outside of Scunthorpe realise.
But you know what I was thinking the other day? I was thinking, you know, when we were really good and we were like champions and things, and obviously Twitter was still in its infancy then, I was just thinking how great it would have been to have seen everybody like marvelling at, look at Scunthorpe, they're League One champions.
Yeah.
And thinking how different it would have been if we'd had Twitter. Yeah, if Twitter had been as big as it was now, how interesting it would have been, and you would have seen Sharp and in a kind of Jordan Rose role. I think it would have been quite interesting.
A really good point, actually, yeah. I think next time we're trending is when we beat, let's think of a Premier League team, in the Cup next season anyway. That's what it'll be. It'll be like when we do an upset or something.
Yeah,
we never do, though. We always fall short of the upsets.
We beat Newcastle in the league.
Yeah, but it wasn't a Cup game, was it?
I think we're trending.
I know what you're saying, Aidan. That'll be the sort of thing, won't it?
Yeah.
Like,
we did come
really
very close to beating Newcastle in the Cup this year.
Yeah. And last year, when we beat Nottingham Forest, although we were trending, Nottingham Forest was trending because they got beat by us.
That's
so
better.
That was
better, yeah. So another great question from Jim. Thank you again, Jim. This is quite a long one. It's going to take me a bit of reading this. I have a theory that Alan Neil has teamed up with the Scunthorpe Telegraph to make headlines easier to write for the rest of the season with these transfers. Think about it. Jamie Record, record signing, record needs changing. Robbie Gibbons, that name is always worth a laugh, and John Parkin, we signed him perfectly for nothing, free Parkin, he shakes off an injury in training and is ready for the next game, Parkin fine.
Give him a job.
I was going to say, he sounds like...
This is why he's a man in local radio, that's why, isn't it?
He needs to be writing these are amazing. Also, there was clearly no other reason for giving a trial to Eugene Bopp. So, with that in mind, what is the best ever sporting headline? Aidan, I'm going to throw to you first.
Yes. Thank you. I win. Super Cali, go ballistic, Celtic are atrocious is the best headline ever. 2000, when Celtic lost to Inverness Caledonian Thistle, when John Barnes, manager. That is fantastic, isn't it?
Nice.
I don't think that can be beaten, to be honest, and no. I have to say that
I've got
was
a better
my
one.
First choice.
Go on then.
Just from looking, I forgot all about this. There's one from 2005. A team from Switzerland had problems getting a new stand built, and the headline was "Young boys wanked off, erection relief." Oh, that was good.
That's exceptional. All right, Carl, you win.
Yeah, no way. I've got another one, but Seaman sinks an Armada. When England beats
not
Spain.
Bad.
96. It's a good one.
Or the one that I always remember is the when England got beat by Sweden.
Oh, that's my backup one, Carl.
And it was Swedes. Was it Swedes 2?
Swedes 2, Turnips 1.
Turnips 1. Yeah.
And that just summarised the entire England performance.
Do you want to just say yours again, Carl? I laughed at that much. So I just say it again.
What? Young boys wanked off, erection relief.
Yeah, that one.
Because the ground is called the Wanked Off Stadium. Yeah. I don't know what that is. Or
exception.
That is quite. I thought that was quite good.
That is very. Good.
That is good. That, is
that
good
one pretty
good,
much wins.
Fair.
It's hard
to
beat. So thank you to Jim and Jamie for sending in those questions. If you have a question or a topic you'd like us to discuss on the show, especially now we're going every week, so we'll need them. You can send them to us via email at castironpodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you can post a message on any of the episodes or on the show itself on the new hosting website for the podcast at Spreaker.com. So I think that'll do us for another episode. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back in 1 week time for episode 9. In the meantime, if you enjoyed this episode, please tell all your friends and anyone else that you can get hold of. Don't forget, you can also follow Nick on Twitter at footychick25. Cheers, Nick.
Cheers, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Check out Aidan on the Twitters at twitter.com/AidanMcCartney. Cheers, Aidan.
No problem. See you in a bit.
And you can follow Carl at Carl Gack. Cheers, Carl.
Thank you very much.
You can follow me at twitter.com/baxyboy, and of course you can follow the podcast itself at Cast Iron Podcast. See you all next week. Up the iron.
Up the iron.
Up the iron.
Up the iron.